It's 5:30. I'll call the meeting to order. First item is Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the table in council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number three is approval of the minutes for August 18th, 2025.
Move for approval of the minutes.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion, questions? Roll call.
What do you want to do this?
It's me.
Roll call means hit the button.
Might not be alive. It's not registering. Gotcha. Okay.
And the minutes are passed unanimously. Thank you. Item number four is approval of the claims.
Move to approve the claims.
Second. Any question on the claims?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Why every, it seems like every couple of months, there's people from Wisner West.
That's for...
Go ahead.
It's for Farm Stop.
Okay, so, gotcha.
Wisner West is Wayne East.
Gotcha. Like, why are they doing Wisner? The answer is it.
Good question. Anything else? Roll call.
Good, buddy?
Yep.
Look at that.
The claims are passed unanimously. Item number five, ordinance 2025-13, amending the Wayne Municipal Code, section 152.046A1, agricultural district, section B, permitted principal uses and structures, and section 152.046 A1 Agricultural District, Section D, Exceptions. This is the second reading. This is the area south of town that Let Trucking came and talked to us last time about.
Anyone reach out to the city?
Nope. Never heard a word. From the applicants. Nobody else has contacted.
Under this ordinance 2025-13, move for approval.
Second.
Wow, we got a lot of
seconds. Yeah, very good.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Stop.
And the second reading has passed. Item number six is ordinance 2025-14, authorizing the issuance of tax-supported municipal improvement refunding bonds, series 2025, in the principal amount of not to exceed $10,500,000 for the purposes of refunding all or portion of A, $4,950,000 outstanding principal amount of tax-supported municipal improvement bonds, series 2023, dated October 5th, 2034, and B, $4,995,000 outstanding principal amount of tax-supported municipal improvement bonds, series 2024, dated February 15th, 2024. Okay. Somebody explain that to me. Andy Forney.
Yes, hello, thank you. My name is Andy Forney with DA Davidson. And so this is the refinancing of two construction fund bonds that we had outstanding, primarily for Prairie Park and for Park.
Yep, Prairie Park, the FNBO building, City Hall, and Park and Rec building.
So these municipal improvement bonds are secured with portion of the sales tax, and then also the city's ability to levy a limited tax if those weren't sufficient. But we think that the revenues from the sales tax would be sufficient for the repayment of the bonds. The current interest rate, I'll give a little credit to the city for being proactive here. These aren't really due until, December of 2026. But we started looking at these, and with the projects being complete, we kind of wanted to get everything teed up and ready to go in case we saw a little dip in rates or had an opportunity to lock in the rates sooner because the projects are complete. And right now there's a 90% chance of a rate cut from the Fed on the 17th. So the timing would be we're going to have a ratings call later this week We think that the city will get a high investment grade rating. We kind of did some, ran some numbers on that, what we thought it would save the city. And we're estimating kind of on the low end, 25 to 50 basis points, which is total somewhere between 150 and 300,000 in total interest by getting that bond rating. And that's really just because of the size. It's a little bigger issuance. We always get good participation from your banks here. And so sometimes on the smaller issuances, there's no need for that because they really step up. But with the size of a bond, it'll allow us to open up to some other investors, insurance companies, mutual funds that will most likely want to buy some of these bonds.
Not excluding the local, but just...
We'll still get priority to the locals, yes, but with $10 million, it's good to have the ability to look other places as well. So trust departments for the banks that are here as well. So we have an ordinance. We believe the rates as of right now would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 4.1% on the long-term financing, considering that the construction financing was between 4.25 and the little piece we sold at 3.9. To be able to lock this in at, you know, pretty near where the construction financing was, we think this is a good opportunity. So the ordinance allows us to issue, not, it's a parameters ordinance. So once we have the rating, we don't want to sell bonds that week of the 17th where the Fed's announcing, but we'd like to set up maybe the week after that, and we'll talk all the details. And that's not set in stone, but assuming everything goes well with the Fed meeting and rates do what we hope they might do, we think the 22nd would be a good time to sell them. And so this allows authorized officers to sign off on those final rates and terms. We have mayor, city clerk, finance director, or city administrator to sign off on those once they're officially done. So
being 2 years early, if rates for whatever reason don't decrease, do we have to act immediately within those 2 weeks, or can we still hold off?
No, we can hold off. Yeah, okay. So if we get some surprise and rates went the other direction, then I've been wrong before. We could absolutely pause, and I think that would be the plan. If something weird happened, it would just be to wait because we have time. So. Okay.
No penalty for paying early?
So we've typically done 5-year call options. So the city has the option, they're fixed for the life of the bonds. City's option after 5 years to refinance. That's traditionally what we see. We'll get the best rates if we give the investors a 5-year lockout. So that's what we're proposing today. There still are ways to, if rates were to drop way down, we could do an advance refunding, some other options that we would look at. So yes, there I think there'll be an opportunity to refinance these at some point.
If anybody does make a motion to approve this, just note that the October 5th, it should be 2023, not 2034. The series 2023 dated October 5th, 2023.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's a typo. It's correct in your paperwork in the box. Yeah, it's just not on the agenda.
And you have to read the whole thing if you're going to make a motion.
I'll introduce for approval ordinance 2025-14, authorizing the issuance of tax-supported municipal improvement or funding bond series 2025 in the principal amount of not to exceed $10,500,000 for the purposes of refunding all or portion of A, $4,950,000 outstanding principal amount of tax-supported municipal improvement bond series 2023 dated October 5th, 2023. And B, $4,995,000 outstanding principal amount of tax-supported municipal improvement bond series 2024 dated February 15, 2024.
Second.
Don't make me read it again.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Any more questions? Roll call.
One more.
Press the button.
I will make a motion.
You good?
Waive the three readings.
Second. We have a motion and a second to waive the three readings.
Actually, I'd like to hear Austin do it three times.
No, sir. There are words I'd like to say I can't.
Any more discussion? Roll call. Stop.
I'd like to make a motion for final approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more questions? Roll call, and the ordinance has passed unanimously with the three readings.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good questions. Item number seven, ordinance 2025-15, approving and authorizing the execution of an energy management and market participation support agreement with Tenasca Power Services Company.
I can start this off. In attendance, we have David Levy with Baird Holm and Dave Peterson with JEO Consulting. They have been the men who have done this for us. Beth and I have sat in on meetings, but they are the nuts and bolts of all this. So hired Mr. Levy under Amy's persuasion. David has done other things for us with power stuff in the past and has done a great job for us. So anyway, so I thought we'd invite him here tonight to tell you a little bit about what they did. And then ultimately, we hope you make it, we would recommend you approving this power agreement. And they'll talk a little bit about, this is not energy, this is only market participation to help the city of Wayne as its own market participant to help us along the way. We will be with Tenasca Power. So gentlemen, do you want to kind of explain what you did or didn't do?
Explain ourselves. Madam Mayor, members of the council, good evening. David Levy, Baird Holm Law Firm. Dave Peterson is here as well with JEO. I'll just give a brief overview of the contract. I'll turn it over to Dave for the hard questions, but we'll both be here as well for anything you have. So again, this is an agreement with Tenasca Power Services to act as the city's energy manager. The city will be buying energy in the Southwest Power Pool market. That's actually how all energy is transacted. It's all paper transactions. It's not as if the electricity goes to Little Rock where Southwest Power Pool is based and comes back. Energy kind of flows like water on the grid, but it is all transacted on paper through the Southwest Power Pool. As a market, it's a little bit like the stock market, for example. And if you want to think about it that way, Tenasca is an expert in transacting in that market. They have a trading floor. They have a group of people who are experts in this, this is all they do every day, and they'll be doing this. If you approve this contract, they would do this on the city's behalf. So they're looking out for you, getting you the best prices on energy, what are called ancillary services as well, different products that come with just pure energy. This agreement allows the city to use its own capacity that you have through your own generation and to use your own generation that you have and that you may construct in the future. It's a three-year agreement with automatic three-year renewals, unless either party were to give 360 days or more notice prior to the end of any three-year term that you do not want to renew. That's a little bit of a short term, I would say, as these agreements go. I think it's safer to have a shorter term than too long of a term, because the energy market is a lot more mature than it was when you last did this a decade ago, but it is still maturing. The 360-day notice also gives you time so that you're not going to be right back at this again. I know this has been a long process. I would expect at least that the parties would go two terms, if not more, just given, you know, you're only 2 years into it and somebody would have to give notice. But it does give the city that flexibility. And I think as the market matures more, that term will make even more sense. So that's really the high level of this. Again, what the contract is that's before you tonight is with Tenasca to act as your energy manager or your agent. In the Southwest Power Pool market, that's their expertise. We worked on these agreements with Tenasca, with other entities. Everyone is a little bit different because every city and every utility are a little bit different. But Tenasca has given the city of Wayne essentially the same terms and same benefits that they've given the other utilities, other cities and utilities that we've worked with on these types of agreements. So with that, Dave, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Maybe just a couple of additional comments.
Please.
The study that we did previous for the last year in deciding or choosing next Tenasca is
Those results still stand today, I believe. What this really allows you to do is work into the Southwest Power Pool and allow the city to participate in the market, where with your BREC agreement, basically you were under BREC and they basically held the umbrella, but you didn't get to take advantage of all the savings from working the market yourself. Basically, you had a middle person that you had to pay to do that. This allows you full use and you get to exercise your rights within the Southwest Power Pool. And one of those is utilizing your capacity or your generation as capacity. The other thing is this agreement allows for competitive bidding on the energy. Versus some of the other agreements, they like to keep it under an umbrella as part of the agreement, but this, you can basically purchase your energy from any entity. It doesn't have to be Tenasca. So that's great in making sure that you're getting your best cost for the market. And then that'll also allow you to stagger your rates, similar to what we talked about when I laid out your portfolio as a proposed. I think the Tenasca option really ties into the needs of what the city wants. It's more in line to your approach. And in saying that, Tenasca does specialize in small town utilities, especially ones with generation. That's where I think they've carved their niche in what they do, and that's very similar to what you're looking for. So I think that alignment is still holds today. I think that's about all.
When does this go into effect? I mean, right away?
We signed this to the agreement actually starts January 1st of 2027. But there's a setup period, which will be in 2026, and that's got an initial cost to it. But the services that they will provide essentially start January 1st of 2027.
That's when that 3-year period
that's
that you're referring to would begin.
That's correct.
That's correct, and that's delayed because that's when your current contract will end. Mm-hmm. So this one will pick up immediately.
And that's our goal, right?
Yeah.
You gotta have somebody.
Yeah. So if you reminder that this has nothing to do with energy proper. You're not like our previous contract or our current contract, you can say, has energy built into it and what we're gonna pay and all that kind of stuff. This has nothing to do with that. That will be at a later date.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Once you do elect Tenasca, then we can start working through that portfolio and get that built for you. So that's the needs thing that'll happen in 2026.
And one of the benefits here, just responding a little bit to what Wes just said, Tenasca is acting as your energy manager, but again, you have options. You don't have to buy the energy through them. There are hedges kind of all throughout the market, and what you end up having here is you have a series of hedges, so it really protects you. Markets, of course, go up and down, right? That's the benefit and detriment of buying anything in a market. But here you have a number of hedges through Tenasca, through having options for where you buy your energy, all of those kinds of things. So you're protected really about as well as you can be in the market. Everybody is buying energy out of the market. Like I said before, I mean, that's the way it works, and really you're seeing fewer and fewer long-term fixed price wholesale energy contracts. So you're going to be in that market, and this agreement and this setup protects you about as well as you can, because there's a series of hedges. So there will be fluctuations. I want to, be very clear. Wes is right. We're not locking in an energy price tonight, but even when you do, there will be fluctuations in that, but you do have hedges to to smooth that out and smooth out its effects on the city and on your budget.
You met with our electric committee members, yeah, beforehand. How'd that go?
Informative. You know, the deciding with Tenasca, you know, before we got to tonight, before the contract was kind of written up, a lot of time and energy was spent by the committee to choose Tenasca and what's best for the city. And I think, you know, after working with David, and also Dave getting our contract to where it benefits the city the most, I think is really going to benefit the citizens of Wayne for the next 3 years and hopefully longer than that. There are going to be a lot of changes within the city with the generation that we're kind of planning. And then also, you know, with us right now having the generation available, you know, with our own power plant, you know, it is a little bit unique compared to some other cities. But overall, you know, this contract, you know, when we had our meeting before, it's like, what are some of the things that we didn't get? To me, as a committee member, when the question is brought up to the two individuals that are asked to negotiate a contract with a company, and they have to sit there and think for a while on what we didn't get that would help the city, you know, kind of makes me feel good that I think we're definitely making the right decision for the city. We're with the right company, and we chose the right individuals to negotiate that contract. So I think going forward, I think it's nothing but positive benefits for the city and the electricity that we purchase, that we provide for the people of Wayne. So I think overall, this is a lot of months that have kind of built up to get to this point. Mm-hmm. We still have some decisions to make, or there's still some negotiating when it comes to the rate. And also, I think next year when Tenasca assists us with being a market participant, but either way, we're getting close to being completely done, which will be nice because it seems like we've been talking about this for quite a while. But overall, this is a big step to get us close to where we need to be. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Is there any need to, if they approve this, to waive three readings? I know Tenasca's chomping at the bit to get moving on their paperwork and stuff. Is that a big deal or not, do you think?
I personally would like to see that, because the other thing that I'm doing is all that paperwork to transition. So not only your credit worthiness and proving all that to SPP, but also the NITs and transmission rights, and getting that all reassigned from BRAC over to where you're going to go. That's all got to be done now. I mean, because they're putting that into new studies and redoing all their programs, how that data or how that energy flows through their process. And the other counterparties are doing it right now also, so that to delay that by a couple of months kind of makes it a little messier.
Yeah, I don't see any reason.
Introduce and move for approval ordinance 2025-15, approving and authorizing the execution of an energy management and market participation support agreement with Tenasca Power Services Company.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any questions, discussions? Roll call.
Okay. Once again, I'll move to waive the three readings of ordinance 2025-15.
Second.
Motion and a second. And any discussion? Roll call. I'm kind of slow here. Yes, you're fast.
Did I already do it? I may have already done it.
Yeah, that was the second
one.
Oh,
okay.
We need one more.
I'd move for final approval on ordinance 2025-15.
Second.
Any last questions? Roll call. And the ordinance has passed unanimously.
Thank you so much for your time tonight.
David, thank you to the electric committee. Appreciate. Item number eight, update on the electronics recycling event to be held on Saturday, September 6, 2025, at the new location, FNBO parking lot, located at 1100 East 10th Street. We have Sandy Brown with the Green Team here.
Hello, well, this is just an update because we're making some changes this year to our 12th annual electronics recycling event. It's been going on a long time. We moved it to the FNBO parking lot. So this is beneficial because we don't have to shut down any city streets or take up parking at the auditorium, which there's a lot of events there. So this should also increase safety, we think. And FNBO has a very long, large parking lot with really nothing there. So this, I think, will work out well. We're looking forward to the cold temps this Saturday morning to test it out. We want people to enter from the east on 10th Street, and then they're going to exit down on the west onto Hill Street. I said that backwards. Enter from the west.
West on 10th.
Oh, okay.
And exit at the east end on the Hillside Drive, right at the end where the community garden is. We've already gotten nearly 50 student athletes from Wayne State signed up to volunteer. Men's basketball and women's soccer will be doing the heavy lifting again. And then we have several Green Team volunteers and community volunteers helping to direct traffic at the front end and just at the end, and you know, collect the fees and greet people to make sure they have the appropriate stuff to drop off. We do have a smooth system in place. Luckily, we also have the same vendor that we've used since 2021, Retrofit out of Minneapolis. They had the lowest bid, once again, because that fee is covered by the grant. So they are coming up Friday to park their big truck. We'll meet with them on site to go over the details again, but the team has been great, and already in advance, the support has been really good, so I have a lot of confidence in them. From the city, what we always ask for is assistance from the person on call. Joel said that is BJ Young this weekend, and he'll be providing the skid loader and operating that so that they can load the pallets once full of electronics onto the vendor's truck. They also bring some barricades to help place for traffic flow, some safety vests for our volunteers, and a couple of trash dumpsters and some cardboard recycling, because we get quite a bit of that. And Green Team will provide all the volunteer support and kind of just logistical support. And we got some new signs, new yard signs made too. So
I was going to say, will you put a yard sign out on the highway so people
see this? Yes. So we got some signs that have arrows, and then we have some just regular signs that will have the address, FNBO parking lot. Mandy Parker did those, and they look great. So we'll put them kind of all over on both highways, kind of to point where at 10th, yeah, you can get all the kind of town. And on the Providence Road, I think Providence, right?
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. And that's from 8 to 10 this Saturday.
Does it cost?
It does cost. There is there are fees. If you have one of those tube TVs, those are $10, or a tube monitor, those are $5, and microwaves are $15. We probably get under 20 microwaves every year, but we still are getting a lot of tube TVs. I just like to remind people that'll cost you to trash anyways. If you take that to the transfer station, they're going to charge you to put that in a landfill, so we'd rather have you bring it to us so it can be responsibly recycled. There is a suggested friendly donation of $10 per carload and $50 for a business of a reasonable size load. Businesses actually have other options to hire contractors and get that taken care of, so we don't want them to take too much space from households who really do have no easy way to get rid of most of their electronics. So the money we are raising from this event, like I said, there is grant funding from the Nebraska Department of Water, Environment, and Energy that helps support it for advertising the vendor. But we have been using a lot of these funds to help support other recycling programs, such as our new pens, markers, and recycling. And this year, as I mentioned to Wes already, our batteries recycling has gone way over what we collected all of last year. So the grant funds only covered a certain amount, and we're going to have to pay out of pocket for additional batteries that keep coming in, which is great. We want that. We just weren't expecting to already beat 2024's record halfway through this year. We're at, if I recall, 29 buckets, and last year we had, I thought it was 20. Too many numbers in my head right now is focused on electronics. So those funds do help make a difference. And people are actually quite generous.
Yeah. And electronics is like small appliances, my iron is
yes,
broken.
Small household. We have on the City of Wayne's website a very detailed list in alphabetical order of everything you can recycle. Even an air fryer, if yours is already burned out, but quite a vacuum cleaner. Small household appliances, no large dishwashers, refrigerators, nothing like that. And if you have any question, you can contact me or email, you know.
You can bring it the day of and they'll tell you,
we might have to tell you no.
Yeah.
That's right, good point. And we've been getting questions nonstop already.
Would say that we also looked, or I guess Sandy and Joel looked at what Prairie Park would look like if we did something down there in one of the parking lots. But then they came back to this thinking this is probably a little better.
The pavement will be easier, and that area is still relatively new to, I think, a lot of people, you know, and identifying exactly the address, where to go, or taking away from park usage too. Trying to avoid shutting things down if we can avoid it, if we can.
FNBO has been contacted, they know all about it. They
kind
of gave us permission upfront. No, it's our property, so they're the tenant, so.
And since it's a Saturday, you know, it's not even a business.
There'll be very few people there, if any, for FNBO, right, FNBO.
Will the speed traps still be on Hillside at this time?
Will the speed traps still?
Yeah.
It's gone, isn't it?
It's gone. And we don't have any like mobile speed bumps or anything?
No. For this event you're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't think people are dying to get out of there. I mean, they're not.
You'd be surprised.
Freedom.
I like the change. I think this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how it goes.
Get the line of cars.
Just not blocking down, you know, on the Lincoln Street. Yeah. So it's just, I think it'll run a lot smoother.
Is it going to be on the south side, end of the, of
well,
the parking lot?
Well, it's going to parallel the 10th, so it'll be on the, south side.
I'm just looking at the map. So if there's a big backup, do we route them in and around the north side?
So
maybe?
You'd enter, right here, and the truck will be parked down here, so
right.
You can run
love
quite
that
some
entire
ways. I think that'll help. We'll do two lanes of traffic, too. So otherwise, they might just have to sit a little bit out
on
here. But I think that'll be, I guess we could snake them. We'll see how many we get. I've got Greg Vanderwell up at the front. He'll be talking and telling people where to go. That's a good point. We could maybe do some lines. It wasn't really any approval. It was just more we wanted to make sure you all knew what the change was and also that you knew about it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
Item number 9, action on change order number 2 in the amount of $102,533 for lighting for the Wayne 7th Street Trail Project. Roger Prossman is here, engineer with JEO Consulting Group Incorporated. Hello.
Hello, Roger Prossman with JEO in Norfolk. Yeah, so staff came to JEO early in the project and inquired about adding some additional lighting to the project, thinking now would be the time to add it rather than waiting later. Unfortunately, the requirements to the lighting did increase, and so the change order we originally think Clayton was hoping maybe we could get by with 3 lights is kind of what we initially discussed, but when we got into satisfying the DOT's photometrics, etc., we ended up with 7 lights as part of the proposed improvements. And on top of that, the state, we showed that we could put them all on one side, but the state said we'd like to have them alternating each side. So
you're being too kind. We'd like you to alternate them. They said you're alternating.
Yeah, you said you were alternating. So anyways, so we then worked with the contractor to come up with a price on that, and the proposed price is $102,533, and delivery. Manufacturer delivery time on the light bulbs is about 22 weeks. So we're looking at probably a spring completion date by the time the poles get here. But that's the information I have regarding the change order. So I don't know if there are any additional questions.
Was there just major miscommunication between you and the state, or were you basing your assumption off previous work or similar work? Or?
You know, I think, you know, Clayton was, and I don't know, I think he looked at kind of what the existing spacing was and what he thought it would be, and so that's kind of how the 3 originally came about. But Then once we got into the engineering side of it and the photometrics, that's at 7, so.
Roger, all the boring and the concrete where the wire comes up to, that'll all be done yet this year, correct?
Yeah, they were going to, hoping they could get to that and keep going, because they've got two of the lights, I think, done. They have one more to go when the Milo to Haas stretch gets done. And so I think when they came back at that time, they would do that at time, you know, in conjunction with that.
And next agenda item, we'll be talking about a pay app, and we can talk a little bit about project and update on where we're at on stuff.
I'd move to approve change order number 2 in the amount of $102,533 for the Wayne 7th Street Trail project.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for this change order. Any more discussion, questions? Roll call.
Two more.
And the change order is approved unanimously. Item number 10, action on contractor's application for payment number 3 in the amount of $42,182.05 to Gehring Construction and Ready Mix Company Incorporated for the Wayne 7th Street Trail Project. Roger Pressman, engineer.
Sorry, I should have mentioned this, the last agenda item. We did talk about this for the public. I think everybody was probably there. We talked about it at the budget workshop, so maybe we didn't spend a lot of time rehashing it here, but we had already had that conversation at the budget workshop, so.
Okay. That is pay application number 3. There's just a small amount of concrete that was poured, and the seating, a lot of the seating was done for everything except for between Milo and Haas. So those were the items primarily in this pay application this month.
How's the work over by the courts? Are they?
What work?
Yeah, that's.
Roger, you want to?
Oh, the courts.
The courts.
Yeah, so we've been on hold because CenturyLink is going to relocate their fiber optic and telephone line in that area. So they've got the design done. We've got the NDOT construction permit, and I sent another email to Lumen, CenturyLink, today as well, just trying to get an update on when their construction will be going on. So said he was out of the office, so I'm just waiting for a response.
It's not the city, it's CenturyLink.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so we're waiting on CenturyLink. As soon as CenturyLink gets their piece done, then Gehring is prepared to come back and finish the project. Kind of the plan right now is if CenturyLink, I think CenturyLink, their contract will probably be done in 2 to 3 days. I don't think it'll be a long project for them to get this relocated. And then once that's done, kind of the plan is if they can get that done by September 15th, mm-hmm. and then Gehring would try to have their stuff done no later than October 30th. So, and they've got all their materials here, so it's just a matter of getting that cable out of the way so that they can complete the excavation to lay the pipe, the storm sewer pipe.
Have you had other problems with utilities on state right-of-way? I mean, it's just kind of unique because the city, it's not the city's right-of-way, it's a state right-of-way, so the state has to give permission. They've issued the permit for CenturyLink to work. It's just, how do you put pressure on a utility to get work done?
Yeah, it is challenging. And Gehring is not as optimistic, I'd say, as I probably am, but because they've had some experience with CenturyLink and other part of the state. But in talking, one of our guys has a relationship with a contractor who works for CenturyLink, and he's telling us he's got availability to do the work. So that's kind of keeping me optimistic that they're going to get it done.
My pessimistic side was July 18th is when we were notified that this would be happening.
Yeah.
And they said, we got 30 days. Well, that would have been August 18th,
yeah.
and now we're September 2nd. So whatever we can do to keep pressure on them as much as possible, and Roger has been, but publicly,
sure.
we're.
Yeah, because we're 2 weeks away from when they say it's going to be done. And we got a nice week this week for weather.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Roger's right.
Let it shorten the meetings.
Yeah.
But know that it's not gearing.
Yeah.
Our contract is not gearing.
You know?
They've been good, the little bit I've been around them on the project, they've been very good to work with.
So I vaguely remember at the retreat when we were talking about the storm sewer and the two different sizes, did we get that resolved?
We have submitted that all to the state, we've shown that we can pass the 10-year storm through the existing pipe, which is kind of what we initially said.
The state hasn't gotten back to you yet on that?
The state has not got back to us, so we've, and then Matt Samuelson is the engineer for the state that we've been working with. He asked for some additional information on top of that, and we provided that to him last week also, so we've not heard back from Matt yet on that, but I assume he's reviewing it at this point, so.
Right now, we don't plan on doing anything with.
Right now, we believe we're okay.
Move to approve payment number three in the amount of $42,182.05 to Gearing Construction Ready Mix Company Incorporated.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion anymore? Roll call. And the motion has been approved.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Item number 11 is Resolution 2025-51, adopting the local hazard mitigation plan update prepared by the Lower Elkhorn Natural Resources District and Lewis and Clark Natural Resource District.
On point, Joel leaves.
Where's
okay, I guess it's me.
I thought he was getting up to come
he's going to talk to Roger. I'm sure. So I know I can. So Joel and I have been the ones really kind of in the middle of this. I think we had Casey address it too. I don't know if Jeff Clayton, did we ever have you guys involved with hazard mitigation stuff, because we did some things with electric in here. But so what this is, every 5 years, FEMA needs an updated plan. The NRD got a grant to do this, and so we were working with, I don't even remember the firm's name, but had to submit a lot of information. I think the biggest highlights on this are the two big money items. If something would happen to the trail, bank stabilization along the Logan, we'd be able to submit to this. It has to be on this list if we're going to submit for FEMA reimbursement. And I know right now we're not sure what the feds are doing with some of those funds, but we've got to keep going forward. So that one, and then also hardening of electrical lines. That is in there. I doubtful they would pay for something like that, but if you had a bunch of electrical lines wiped out, we would want to then come back in and hopefully put them underground. Would FEMA help pay for that? So those are my two big items there. Joel, do you want to talk anything about hazard mitigation?
Just if you want to get money from FEMA, you have to have this plan.
See, we about said the same thing. He just was very concise and I wasn't. I said two big items, electrical hardening and bank stabilization are the big ticket items. Then there's public awareness, drought mitigation, some things like that where you could just pass no watering on certain days, things like that that you're not going to get paid for by the feds on something like that. But that's all in our plan, that those are things that we could do to help hazard mitigation. So
I'll introduce Resolution 2025-51 and move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Roll call. And the resolution has passed. Item number 12, Resolution 2025-52, maintaining uniform service surcharge for enhanced emergency E911 telephone communication system. Marlon is coming up to the podium.
I am. Good evening, Council. Marlon Chen, Chief of Police. So originally, we discovered through notice from a research company that we were not in compliance and this was supposed to have been renewed annually every year. We were under the impression that it was only done if something changed. Well, it hasn't changed since 2001, so we're a little behind. So I redid this resolution only to find out this afternoon that LB 362 that the legislature just passed that goes into effect tomorrow repealed and changed all the statutes that are written on this that's in front of you. So I would ask for your consideration to maybe table this until the next meeting to where we can update the proper statutes and stuff to get it all in line, to get us back in compliance.
Motion to table resolution 2025-52.
Second.
Motion and a second to table this resolution. Roll call.
Sorry.
Press the button.
Hi, there, yeah.
And that we are tabling that resolution.
Thank you, you know.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. See you next time.
Item number 13, action to direct the mayor to solicit members to appoint to a downtown improvement and safety committee. This is a committee to talk about the curbs downtown, the pavers downtown, and just the safety of some of that. We talked about this in the budget.
The agenda.
Agenda meeting.
The agenda meeting, okay. And anyway, I think we need to do something sooner than later. I did not want to wait till the till our retreat to talk about this. I feel like we've had some accidents downtown, people tripping, and our pavers are in bad shape. I don't know that, you know, it was 2006 when that project was completed, 2005, 2006. Started in 2005, completed 2006, yeah. And the pavers have not worn well. If you look, the curb is up here, the pavers are down here. And they're all kind of wonky, and the curb stops are sticking up. We have some problems. I think we need to, I would like to see a committee to talk about some options, what we do, tear those out, put new ones in, put some green space in. I don't know.
Could this be delegated to, I'm going to probably make it wrong, Parks and Rec Committee, or what are they now?
The Park and Rec Board.
Board, yeah. I know it's not necessarily Parks and Rec, but they have experience, you know, dealing with paved and all that, and maybe they want natural aesthetic downtown or whatever, just a board with some experience under their chops. So.
I'd like to see a few people on council. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Casey on there because he's with the water department with those curb stops. He's got a lot of experience on that. I'd like to see Joel on there as far as staff. If we need any others, I don't care. I'd also like some people from downtown to give some advice, some direction there also. I think we need to move on this sooner than later, though.
Do we need any guidance or anything from the state, seeing as how it's there right away?
You would have to, I mean, if you wanted to make some kind of an improvement, yes, yeah. You would have, absolutely.
So there's been, you know, two major injuries now that have occurred because of them. We sent out how many letters?
Three rounds.
Mm-hmm. Some people have made the improvements. There's other parts, you know, that are still sinking and causing issues. And I know that this is not going to be cheap. But now that the city's on notice, there's been two major injuries. We have sent the letters out acknowledging that we know there's a problem. And if there's a bigger injury or another lawsuit, the payout's going to be, you know, the more knowledge we have and fail to act on it, the payout's going to be bigger. And so we need to do something about it.
So the city has settled with some folks or something? Or is that not?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, but there's a claim.
Gotcha.
A claiming.
Even though the curb stops, they are not owned by us. They're responsible by the business owners that are in front of them. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure the public's aware of that this isn't the city's problem.
The curb stops.
The curb
are
stops
not the
are not
problem.
The city's
the
problem.
The curb stops.
Correct. We understand the pavers, like, you know, something needs to be done, like the mayor has said. I don't think there's one place of downtown where you have the curb and the pavers that meets the sidewalk perfectly. Everything
they're
is
all kind of sunk.
Has sunk. Yeah. So
curbs are popping.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Jeff's got a bad
really
one down
bad.
By his building, right about outside of Carhartt. That's mm-hmm. the second time we've fixed it once.
Yeah.
That needs to be addressed too. So I guess to Austin's point about the Parks and Rec, when Parks and Recreation were actually, well, Parks was under the street department, mm-hmm. we separated that kind of on purpose, or I did, and so to bring them back into the street scape and stuff. I'm not sure if that's, I don't know. Not saying that it's Joel's job as a street superintendent to do the aesthetics on along Main Street, but it's a combination of both, I think.
I just add for history purposes, how that project came about was there was a Team 15 committee made up by the mayor, some city staff liaisons and a lot of downtown folks. And actually the improvements like the pavers were paid through from a business improvement district. So those people that own the businesses downtown actually paid for those extra improvements. Otherwise we would just have straight concrete all the way to the curb. So just to give you that background that I could see why some downtown people might want to have input into it just because they did pay for what was there.
So question I had is, this is to improve what we already have. But when it comes to the curb stops, we're obviously going to have to do something with them in the process of it. How much of that is the city going to take on, or are we going to do this and then charge the businesses for whatever we do with their curb stop?
Depends on what the committee decides.
Yeah.
Well, even if we have the committee and they decide, I still don't think it's something that the city should eat because for some people to fix the curb stop issue, and then the ones that don't, and then the city's going to come in and change everything. You know, you send out these letters saying, okay, we know there's a problem. Some people fix them, some people don't, and then the city comes through and fixes everything.
Well, what we did this time around was some of them fixed them on their own.
Yes.
Some of them signed a waiver for us to come in and fix, and the fix that we did is not necessarily permanent because these things telescope up and down, so we know that next year we may have that same issue. And then some of them disregarded us completely, and we hired somebody to come in and lower them, and then we charged them back. So that's how we've handled this round.
I think Casey and I have talked about a fairly cost-effective means to solve the problem. Claim to involve having like the valves that you see for like the city's main, they're bigger around, to actually put some of those in the sidewalk and let them float up and down with the sidewalk, but not tie them to the actual curb stop. And because it's the sidewalk that's pulling up the curb stops and then going back down, but the curb stops don't. So this way that cover would float up, come down, and then you should not see the water valve actually going up and down inside that cover.
Okay.
So that should be a relatively cheap fix for each one of those.
Okay.
If you repave,
you have to repave the area where those are at.
If you leave it either a grass area or whatever, then you don't do anything with them. You just grass over it, or wood chips would, no. Stay won't let us do wood chips either.
But I think some grass areas would be nice, and some, you know, areas would be.
Or strategically around.
Yes.
The curb stops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No.
I just don't want this to be something where the city comes in and starts paying for things that business owners don't want, or it messes with somebody's curb stop, or we're spending money on private businesses' properties.
I think I can answer that. The city is not going to do this for free.
Yes.
No, they are not.
I'm agreeing with you.
So one thing that can be done, and this is up to the committee and what we've done in other places, same thing like a paving district. Or,
business improvement district.
Business improvement district to where. Okay, this is what it costs. You have these options. You know, option one, you pay it in full. Option two, it's prorated over the course of 3 years or, you know, 12 months, whatever, something like that. Whatever you want to do for the city, contact city, and we can make that happen. Either way, the city's not going to, you know, eat it. But to me, that's something the committee needs to decide, you know, and what's best.
And that's fine. Like I said, I just want to make sure that I understand that's what's happening and it's being said, so that way if anybody else has any questions, it's at least verbally discussed.
Would you like to be on the committee?
I think you found two volunteers right there. I will not be on the committee. I'm on too many already. The mayor would agree.
Well, your electric committee, that's kind of done that, right? So you go. It's not done.
Do you need a motion for this to approve the mayor to direct or no?
Yeah.
Motion to approve the
to direct the mayor to solicit members to appoint a downtown improvement and safety committee.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more volunteers? Any more discussion? Roll call.
What am I agreeing to right now?
You're letting the mayor solicit people. Sorry, did that stick to the tape?
The motion is approved unanimously. Item number 14 is action to set the mini retreat date for Monday, September 29th, 2025 at 5:30 at the Wayne Fire Hall. Do not make a motion yet. I'd like to suggest we move it to Tuesday, September 30th. Dwayne cannot be there on the 29th, and...
But I would want it to.
Tuesday, we, you know, we're kind of used to meeting on Tuesday.
And I will try to Zoom in.
On Monday, if we do it Monday. I would suggest...
That's the night of parent-teacher conferences.
I would suggest we do it on, why not do it on Tuesday? Have everybody there, our next retreat?
I'm out for both.
Okay.
You're out for both, he said?
Yeah.
I'm out for Tuesday.
Okay.
I thought it was Monday.
Hey.
Lose your attorney or lose the councilman?
I know.
I know where I...
I say let's just keep it Monday. I'm sure, Dwayne, if you have things that you would like to discuss, you know, if you're...
Sometimes I...
About something, you can meet with one of the councilmen and pass that on.
Yeah, I just, that's the night of parent-teacher conferences, so I will try to Zoom in. If it's a quiet night of conferences, then it should be no different than it was during the pandemic.
Won't be anymore. You use the Q word.
Oh, don't worry, it'll still be on at 9:00. You can just stop afterward.
Do we have a list of topics we want to discuss at the retreat, or...
I need your list.
I haven't talked about meters in a while.
Pardon me?
Meters, but like Casey was discussing water meters a while ago.
Okay, send them by email.
Yeah, just give me a list or send them to the mayor and we will put them together.
I'll make a motion to set the mini retreat for Monday, September 29th at 5:30 at the Wayne Fire Hall.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any more? Roll call. And the motion has passed unanimously. We're adjourned.
Under an hour.
Under an hour, did it?
I was gonna say, it took me longer to read the Tenasca contract.
Oh my god.
I read that thing.
You read the whole thing?
50 pages.
I read the whole thing.
A lot of it.
I didn't.
But I didn't read like the...